Verse 14. The beginning of a fight, the beginning of strife, is like releasing water. That is to say, when the dam busts, all over the place. Very vivid, isn't it? The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Once the stuff seeps and starts to spread, you know, how do you gather up the streams that are spilling all over the place? Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Head it off at the pass. Nip it in the bud. Find a way to zip your lip. Don't start the fight in the first place. Thank you. You're right. You're absolutely right. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In fact, there's another passage that we did read before, where it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers over all sin. You're absolutely right. In fact, that's the ultimate solution. It's the ultimate solution to anger. It's the ultimate solution to all of our sins is the love of Christ, which works no harm, and therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Don't start a fight. What happens if you've already started it? Go to chapter 20. Say, now, that's the help I need. I have trouble stopping before I start. What do I do once I've started it? Chapter 20. Oh, this is a good one. This is convicting, but it's good. Chapter 20 and verse 3. It is honorable for a man to stop fighting once he's doing it. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. I know, because I started one. And you're looking at the fool. It's easy to start a fight. May I say, it is easiest with those that you know the best. If you know just where those vulnerability spots are, you know just where those irritation spots are, you know where to stick the needle. It's easiest to start a fight with people you know the best because you know their weak spots. Don't do it. And if you find yourself doing it, you have nothing to worry about. There is no prize in keeping it going. It's honorable to stop. Have you ever stopped yourself in mid-stream? In mid-epithet? It's honorable just to stop it. Even if you've started it. Don't keep adding fuel. Exactly right. You said something so perfect. Chapter 26... Right on, right on. Chapter 26 and verse 21. You're absolutely right. Chapter 26, 21. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. It is fuel. Yes, if you just keep it going. Stop it. It's okay. You don't have to worry about your image or looking weak. If you stop the fight, it's okay. It's honorable for you to stop once you've started it. Now, here's another nice, stay in chapter 26 for a moment, another nice practical piece of advice for those of you who do this. This isn't your fight. This is somebody else's fight. Chapter 26 and verse 17. Lyndon Johnson was once kidded about this verse. You'll know why in just a moment. Chapter 26 and verse 17. I mean, he was a man who obviously was never angry and never caused fights. He had a type A personality, if anyone ever did. Chapter 26 and verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Don't mess with other people's quarrels. Don't mix and meddle in other people's conflicts and fights. Now, if you're a policeman, you're going to have to do that because that's what you're paid to do. You want to prevent bodily harm, and you may have to step in the middle, and that's what you're paid to do. But if you sort of, shall we say, insert yourself into a situation. Now, you know how this often happens? We talked about this last week, gossip. When you enter into a controversy, this person is something against this person. Have you heard? And then you say, oh, did she really say that? And then it gets worse. Don't meddle, and don't foment, and don't fuel by inserting yourself into somebody else's fight. You see, when I insert myself into a fight, I often do it to make a friend. If I can make them an enemy, even more of an enemy of the other person, I can cause them to want to be a friend to me because I'm on their side. That I'm, yeah, let's sick them. Does that sound awfully familiar? Terribly, terribly familiar. Restrain your anger. Chapter 15 and verse 18, we won't go there, but just say that if you restrain your anger, bite your lip, bite your tongue, avoid starting the fight in the first place by curbing your anger. But Joe's finger was precisely, exactly on the absolute ultimate solution. And that's found, as we read a moment ago, in chapter 10 of Proverbs. Remember, hatred, anger, whatever, stirs up strife, but love covers over all sins. You know what love does? Love looks beyond the cause of the irritation and actually says, that's really not worth spilling my verbal blood over. This person is hurting. This person has some needs. This person is in a heap of trouble. And the fighting is often a symptom of that kind of disquiet within the other person. And so if you can get past the externals that are producing the irritation and look inside at what's hurting them and try to find out what's hurting them, you know, I see you're angry. I see you're upset. And so, you know, tell me about it. What's hurting you? What's causing this disquiet inside you? Now, not everybody's going to be willing to open up because they're going to probably be in the moment and they're going to be, you know, vociferous about what they're doing, and that's not going to be giving you a quiet, dispassionate response. But the fact of the matter is that if you are able in love to look past the externals and look past the symptoms and try to search for the causes of what is producing the fighting spirit, then you may be able to calm them down. A good counselor is someone who has that capability, who has the ability to listen, the ability to diffuse as opposed to incite, to diffuse a situation by virtue of helping people to become more objective. Is it really just the way you think it is? Dispassionate, perhaps, is another word that one might use, if you can achieve that. That's a tough position and a tough stance to take, but by the grace of God, we can demonstrate love. Love overcomes those causes of controversy, those causes of strife and fighting that we've been talking about. You see, if you love someone, it's hard to hate them. If you really love someone, it's hard for you to exercise pride that tries to hurt them. And all of the other causes can be overcome and will be overcome if you have an attitude toward the other person that is in the spirit of Christ instead of your natural spirit. And that's why it says that in such a moment, if you are able to exercise the love of Christ, it says it's like pouring coals of fire upon the head of the persons involved. Not because you're trying to hurt them with coals of fire, but rather it's that they're going to become convicted of what it is that they're doing as they see you respond in an atypical and an unexpected kind of way. You know, you've been in such situations where you have been able to, by the grace of God, to take a deep breath, as it were, and to diffuse the situation by a response that helps move them out of the focus that's causing the anger and causing the strife and move to another stance, to another place, where they're able now to catch their breath, as it were, spiritually speaking, saying, I don't know why I'm so upset. You're right. I mean, I've seen that occur on more than one occasion. And if a person can just get moved a little bit to focus a little bit differently than where they are at the moment while they're all worked up and ready to fight, just focus a little differently on something that really deals with the cause and not the symptoms, the problems of their heart. Right, right. This issue of fighting is not something that, even though I've said things that may sound humorous, or they may sound like I'm making light of it. I'm not. But sometimes the only way you can deal with a serious subject is by detaching yourself and having a little bit of objective humor about it. I want you to know this is an issue in which Satan has a favorite tool. Division, factionalism, strife is a favorite tool of Satan to try to disarm and to make ineffective believers, to ruin our testimony and to make us ineffective in our witness and in our ministries. If he can divide us and cause us to fight, then he can cause people to say, see, they can't get along. Why should I pay attention to what they're having to say? Because they can't get along among themselves. Now remember, there are some fights you need to wage if the faith is being attacked, but not if you're being attacked personally. That Bible really says that when we learn to love as Christ loves, we learn to love even our enemies, even those who are out to get us, by praying for them, not by being a doormat, but by praying for them and finding a way somehow to penetrate to the person's heart. And the gospel itself is the best way to penetrate a person's heart. God loves you. God loves you is the best message that any angry person and any proud person could ever hear. God loves you. You don't need to feel as you're feeling, because all of the lacks and all of the frustrations that you have, God can fulfill. God can fulfill. God loves you. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we consider this issue of fighting, as we consider how it is that we're our own imperfections, our own corruption, our own anger, our own pride, all of that enters in to stir up strife. At the same token, Father, you grant us wisdom. How we thank you for the wisdom you've granted us here in the book of Proverbs, that insofar as it is up to us and we're capable of doing so, that we should stop any fights before they start, that we should back off if we're in the middle of them, that we should redirect insofar as it's possible to redirect the focus of the controversy so that the strife can cease. May we exercise love. May we be able to overcome evil with good. And yes, Father, maybe we'd be willing in the positive sense to stand up and fight for the things that we should fight for, but not for other things that are a waste of time, that are foolish, and that cause nothing but division and hurt, and blunt the testimony of the Lord and ourselves. May we have this wisdom, we pray, and apply this wisdom, we pray, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.